Scripture reading is Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. I like to read. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the names of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord. Today's title is, If We Hear God's Word and Do According to It, Part 2. If We Hear God's Words and Do According to It, Part 2. In our last sermons, we saw that to diligently obey the Lord your God is about believing the word of God, because faith begins with hearing the word of God, according to the Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We recognize that if we believe in God and Jesus, it is solely because of God's gift of grace to us. You can find that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. If through God's gift of the grace we heard the word and our faith began leading to salvation, then just as the psalmist confessed in Psalm 116, we should respond to God who gave us this gift. Let's look at the Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Shouldn't we reciprocate? The psalmist begins by confessing his relationship with God and himself. In the Psalm 116, verse 16, O Lord, surely I'm thy servant, I'm thy servant. This is not simply a master and a servant relationship, but a thankfulness for the release of his bones, all his problems and difficulties, and especially in this psalm, his complete freedom from the bonds of death. As a servant who has been set free from all bondage, he vows to willingly obey all the commands of the master who has set him free. This is the beginning of what we call the repayment of God's favor. God freed the Israelites from the peril bondage after 400 years of slavery. In fact, before the Exodus, the Israelites did not even know or believe in God who had saved them through the 10 plagues and Moses. God remembered his covenant with Abraham and brought them out of Egypt to be his peoples. Indeed, the Exodus was a tremendous gift and blessing from God on the part of the Israelites, but they did not accept God's grace as grace because they had no faith in God, because they did not know God. That's why the 40 years of training in the wilderness awaited them to make them God's peoples. God made his purpose for the 40 years of working in the wilderness clear. Let's look at the Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 3. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. Then he might humble you, testing you to know that was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by the bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. He wanted to train to them, to test them, to make them into people of God who would keep his word. The wilderness is an area which there are no laws and literally no plants can grow. The only way they can live in the wilderness is by believing and following the word of God who has led them. But not only were they unwilling to listen to God and Moses, but their heart were set on returning to Egypt. According to the Acts chapter 7 verse 30, and our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to him, but repudiated him and in their heart turned back to Egypt. Rather than repaying God's grace for leading them, they had become the recipients of grace in vain, completely disregarding the grace that God had given them. So in today's passage, Moses is telling the second generation in the wilderness to remember the disobedience of the first generation in the wilderness. He is asking them to please follow God's word. We too are called by God to be the church today, to go from this wilderness to heavens. Our calling is no different than that of the Israelite. We are being nurtured by God's unilateral grace because he loves us, giving us faith and bring us into the church so that we can inherit the kingdom of heaven through the word. If God had not called us by grace, we would go to the eternal lake of fire. But he loved us to the point of giving his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to make us sons of God. If we believe and know that we are the recipients of this love and grace, shouldn't we be recipients of God's grace? The Lord emphasized faith in his word to the church in the wilderness, and he emphasized obedience, keeping his word. Let's look at the Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Jesus was saying that he was keeping the words of the fathers who sent him. According to the John chapter 8, verse 55, I do know him and keep his words. He also said that if we do not keep the word, it is because we do not love Jesus and God the Father who gave the word. You can find at the John chapter 14 verse 24. If these things waver or are not done, we are not from the Lord. According to the Luke chapter 6 verse 46, and why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? This means that we are only saved and the Lord is not the master of our lives, but we are still the master of our lives. These words of the Lord are not spoken to rebuke us. They are spoken with a sense of regret because we want us to examine our faith, to make progress in our faith so that we can enjoy all the blessing that God has in store for us, blessings that he is going to give us in our text. That's why in our text, the Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, it says, keep all the command that I command you. The word for keep is a Hebrew, is a samar, which means to observe, to pay close attention to. In other words, if you have accepted by faith all the commands that God has given you, then follow them. In short, we are told to be obedient. Are we truly living without any deviation in keeping and following the word we have heard so far? In reality, no one can claim to have perfectly followed all of God's word. However, this does not serve as an excuse for us. We must do our utmost to follow and obey God's word. Our effort and earnestness should reflect the extent to which we love God. The Apostle Paul never forget his encounter with the Lord on the Damascus Road, and he lived his life as if he had been graced by God. He believed the gospel of Jesus and tried diligently to obey it. He always tested and verified for himself whether he was keeping the faith that the Lord had given him. Because he lived this way, he exhorted us to do the same. Let's look at the 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 to 6. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? This confession shows how fiercely he longed to live a life of obedience to God's word. It's a confession that shows a genuine desire to test his heart moment by moment, to live not according to his own will, but according to God's will. Are we, like the Apostle Paul, living fiercely with a desire to test our own heart and live according to God's word? Let's not forget why God sent the Israelites to live in the wilderness for 40 years. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, "And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not." He was trying to find out whether we obey God's word or not. Today, we are also in the wilderness church on our way to heaven, and we should not forget that even at this moment, God is coming to our church, Love First Church, to see whether we all obey God's word or not. What was the result of God's testing of them? Only two people, Joshua and Caleb, passed by keeping God's command, while all the others failed. Why did they fail? Even though they saw the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire and were led by God, they did not obey God's command. Joshua and Caleb were men, and their heart must have wavered, but they did not listen to men, but only to God, and they were willing. When the 12 spies returned after exploring the land of Canaan, although they had all seen in the same place, the reports were different. 10 spies gave a report from perspective of unbelief, while Joshua and Caleb gave a report through the eyes of faith. The report of the unbelief spies was, "If we try to settle in the land of Canaan, we will all be captured and killed. We saw the descendant of the Nephilim there, and in our own eyes, we seemed like grasshoppers compared to them." Because of this report, all the Israelites became discouraged weeping throughout the night and blaming Moses and Aaron. They even grumble against God, saying, "Why did you bring us to this land only to be killed by the sword? Let us appoint a new leader and go back to Egypt." Then Joshua and Caleb told their closest and reported, "The land we have discovered is a very good land, beautiful land. If God loves us, He will give us the land. Let us not do anything against God. We need not fear the people of the land, for their defenses are gone. They are our food. We need not fear them, for God is on our side." On what basis did Joshua and Caleb make this report and rebuke the Israelites? Because they thoroughly believed that God would lead them into the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, before the Exodus. But those who viewed God's work through the eyes of unbelief were saying that the land flowing with milk and honey was not Canaan, but Egypt. You can find at the Numbers chapter 16 and verse 13. Although the body was forced to go along, the 40 years in the wilderness was not a step of faith. They were all eventually wiped out in the wilderness. But because Caleb and Joshua followed God completely, God promised to give them and their descendants the land of Canaan because they kept His word and obeyed it. You can find that the Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 36. It's because he was followed the Lord fully. It's talk about the Caleb. Obeying the master's word is the servant way of showing loyalty to the master. And for us, that master is God. Joshua was recognized by God as a faithful servant. You can find at the Joshua chapter 14 verse 9, "Surely the land on which you foot has trodden shall be an inheritance you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully." Thus Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who passed God's test in the wilderness. Dear saints, what would the Lord have to say to us today if we were to look into our heart? Why is it that our faith is not progressing, that we are not working according to God's word, that God's power is not manifested in our midst? It is because we say we believe, but we are still unable to put down our own thought, our own experience in front of faith that God has given us. Because when it comes time to make a decision of faith, my thought and my way take precedence over God's word. Whether our faith is real or fake depends on whether we obey or disobey the word. For over the past 20 years, God has poured out His endless grace and love upon our Love First Church. Didn't God clearly show that He is with us, especially by leading us to build a church? Construction church. Yet, didn't we have to halt construction less than 3 months after starting due to a lack of funds? For 3 years, we relied solely on God and prayed daily, and we answered us. So we resumed the construction and eventually completed it. How many trials, both great and small, did we face during that times? And in each of those moments, God clearly showed us that He's alive. How much more proof do we need? that the suffering of our faith will work for our good, so that it will not be burned up in the final judgment of fire, so that we may finally receive praise, honor, and glory from the Father. You can find at the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. I see the Lord with our face in the wilderness church today. Instead of complaining and grumbling, we need to open our eyes of faith and see God at work and inexhaustible blessings He's about to pour out on us. If I die, I will keep the word of God. Apostle Paul say in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, I protest, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in church, in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Recognizing his own ugly self for his inability to obey the word of God, he was very hard on himself, always trying to live a life submission to the word by beating the outward man with the word. His confession in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. I must live by faith and dependence, believing that I have died and that Christ lives in me, not I in Christ. Let's look at the Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I like read, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Obedience means placing the Lord's will above my own. It is a confession of trusting not in myself, but in the Lord. In the end, the Apostle Paul proclaimed that despite all trials and hardship, he held firmly to God's word and the promise to the very end, and that he had ultimately won the good fight. He's a struggle with himself. Let's look at the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. It is my fervent prayer that confession of faith like the Apostle Paul's will be the confession of faith of all of us at Love for Church. May we see our destination with eyes of faith. It is right before our eyes. Let us pray together.